Our key verse that we've been doing on this series, Not Ashamed. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open to them. If not, you can look to the screen. It comes out of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Say with me, "I am not ashamed."
I am not ashamed.
Come on, you do a little better than that. Say, "I am not ashamed,
I am not ashamed
of the gospel
of, Christ.
For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone." Say, "That includes me." To everyone that believes. Now, we've talked from this verse, the obvious draw that most people, when they look at that, the takeaway would be on witnessing and how to keep that balance and how to be effective in reaching the unchurched, the unsaved, in the rhythm of life, and not trying to pick who you're going to witness to, but letting the Holy Spirit create those opportunities in the rhythm of life. Because the most people that God wants us to impact won't happen inside the walls of a church. They're going to happen into the highways and byways. Jesus didn't say, go to the synagogue and start discipling. He said, go out into the highways and byways. Reach people. Meet their needs. Minister. Love them. Make a difference and disciple them. And so one of the things that helps all of us is not trying to evangelize everybody, but the right people. Because you're not called to reach everybody. You are called to reach somebody.
Amen.
Regardless of if you're in the ministry or been saved a long time, maybe you just got saved last month and you don't know much, I'm telling you, you still have something others don't.
Right.
And God can use that something to reach your somebodies if you're open. Amen?
Amen?
But it goes so much farther than that. As we look into this verse, that word saved there, salvation there, is from the Greek words sozo or soteria, which encompasses this covenant context that we call salvation. So by grace are you saved through faith. And there's a power there that makes salvation happen. There's a power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the gospel, it is power for salvation. That includes you going to heaven, amen. That's important. That includes you having your sins forgiven and being free from the past. That's huge. That's huge. But that also encompasses your relationship with God, you escaping hell. It also includes, did you realize, healing?
Yeah.
It encompasses every facet of your life. Look it up. Don't take my word for anything. Challenge it with the word of God. Because it's the truth of God's word that brings freedom. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And freedom, which means being free from something that imprisoned you in the past. Freedom, so when I get the truth, it unlocks the door to whatever I have been imprisoned by. Truth is a key that unlocks that next level. Did you hear me? And so when we look at this, in salvation, it encompasses every facet that I like to say. The promises of God in the Word of God are available to you. In fact, the Bible says in the King James translation that the promises of God to you are yea and amen, which means approved. And completed.
Yes.
It's not asking God, Lord, I need you to add to it in the covenant or in the contract everything you need. All things, the Bible says, that pertains to life and godliness, he's already given to you.
Yes.
Did you hear me? He's a good father. Yes. He's a good father. In fact, Jesus said, he is so good. He knows everything you will ever need. But don't pursue it like the world pursues it. Seek first the kingdom of God. Make God and the way he does stuff a priority. And then all these things that you want and need, that even the world wants and need, God will bring into your life. And so we see, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. See, I'm a firm believer that God doesn't want you to look at your situations, your problems, and if you're here and you never have problems, God bless you. But for the most of us, it's called life.
Yeah.
Jesus said, in this world, you'll deal with trials and tribulations. But be of good cheer,
yeah.
I have overcome.
Amen.
He's the vine, we're the branches.
Right.
We draw victory. Thanks be to God who always causes you to triumph through Christ.
Yeah.
The Bible's filled with God wanting you to be the head and not the tail, victorious, not defeated.
Right.
Can I get an amen?
Right.
Can I get a better amen? And so what I believe with all my heart that the Word of God teaches is that God doesn't want you to look at your problems and to define his word and will.
Come on.
But he wants you to take his word, which is his will, and impart them into your problems.
Yes.
How many times you heard people say, well, God doesn't heal anymore because, you know, I knew somebody. Well, I'm glad if you knew a lot of somebodies. But my Bible says, let all men be liars and God be true. Isaiah 55, 10 and verse 11 says, and God's word goes forth, it will not return void. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away before my word fails. We have to get back to the basics that if God said it in his word and reveals it to you, it will happen. Romans 4, Abraham was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise would do it. You can't do it. It's his power. Not your power, his power. Not your ability, his ability. Not your past, your future connected to God. Your future connected to him. Your future. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. That doesn't mean you can't do something. You can sin. You can mess things up. You can tick people off. What he's saying that without me, you can't do what the Father wants you to do. You can't have what the Father wants you to have. He says, the key is in me. Connect to me. And Jesus is the Christ. That's not his last name. That's the position of authority as of the Messiah, Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen? That's the presence and power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power. It doesn't mean you have to walk around being weird. Jesus is not weird. Just some of his kids are. We know. Don't look at the person next to you. That's rude. Come on now. Some people are weird. They're sincere. They just don't know any better. Being spiritual, you don't have to be weird. We encourage people, get off the weird wagon. Don't embarrass you and everybody else. Do the right thing. Be the right thing, because more than being weird, it's being powerful. Amen. If you're loud, be loud. But if you're not loud, don't be loud. If you talk a certain way, don't change the way you talk because you see Christians walk by. I mean, that's like telling a joke. Did you hear this joke? And you go, why would you do that? Unless you're trying to be something you're not to somebody in your world. Come on, somebody. I'm not ashamed of the power of God, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto healing, unto blessing, unto peace, unto the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's the power of God. In any area, you cannot do anything your Father wants you to do, from serving him to living for him, without his power, the Holy Spirit, in your life. It's the Holy Spirit that sheds abroad in your heart the love of God. You can't even love God back without the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Philippians, it is God who gives you the desire and the ability, one translation. The King James says to will and do of his good pleasure. That means you have a desire to do it and the ability. So when you're getting frustrated because you seem like you can't do it, take a step back and say, maybe I'm depending on my power. I got to figure out how to tap into God's power, because with God, all things are possible. Amen. We saw last week that the key element is to anyone who believes, not who agrees, but who believes. And how do we begin to believe? But today I want to talk about when we have begun to believe, not just mentally agree, but to believe in our heart. When we begin to believe, that is just the beginning. That's not the end. A lot of Christians, when faith begins to build in their heart and they get that peace of God and they believe the word of God's going to do it, if we're not careful, we'll put it on autopilot. We'll put it on neutral and think we're done. No, that's just the beginning. Say, just the beginning. Let me talk to the moms. When you found out you're pregnant, that wasn't the end. That was just the beginning. Just the beginning, was it not? But you knew that there was life on the inside of you. And not everybody could see that life. And you might call some people, guess what? I'm pregnant. Or you might have said, guess what? I'm expecting. Well, you don't look any different. I will, but right now you don't see it. But one day you'll see it. But one thing I know is on the inside of me is there's life. And that life is kicking some days. That life is hungry. It's moving some days. And but there's life there. And I want you to know that I'm going to change some stuff that I do, because now I need to focus on feeding and protecting. Right. and nurturing that life. Thank you for the three moms that really care about your children. The rest of you, we're praying for you. I'll come over here to talk to you. It's amazing what changes. Go to the doctor more. He puts you on these special vitamins. You might eat different. All that process, why? Because you're feeding that life. You're protecting that life. And I want to tell you that when the promises of God are inside your heart. See, Romans 10:10 says that we believe with the heart. Not with the mind, the heart. Not with the mind, the heart. That's the spirit part of you. But that don't make sense. I know in 2 Corinthians 2, it says that the spiritual things don't make sense to the carnal, natural mind because we don't understand them, because we want to wrap our mind to understand the nitty-gritty points to it. But there's a place in the realm of God that you have to move beyond what totally makes sense to your natural reasoning. I'm not saying that you check out and you act like you're an idiot. No, but there is a place beyond your reasoning. We understand that in some areas. You could say, I believe God always has existed. He's never had a beginning. I believe that, but you believe it, but you can't rationalize it.
Right.
You understand that? You could say, oh no, it makes sense to me. Think about it a little longer then, that God never had a beginning. Go back a billion years, still there. Before, trillion years, no, keep going. Go back as big of the numbers you can get, and before then was God. Genesis 1, in the beginning, literally in the Hebrew says, in the timeless past, before time, God. Before anything, God. There's things about the nature and character of your God, your Heavenly Father, that you cannot rationalize with the reasoning ability of your mind and intellect. It supersedes your intellect, and we draw and receive by faith. We believe it by faith. God having the ability to know not only what you say and do, but even what you think. And to do it simultaneously with every person who's alive on this planet. That is mind-boggling. I have enough trouble trying to talk to somebody while I'm watching TV. Come on, you know you're the same way. And God's able to do it. He knows everything. How do you wrap your mind around that? It's a level of faith. There's areas of God that in the realm of God, you can't rationalize. And this area of believing, when God makes his word alive to you, when he told Abram, I know you're old. I'm not looking at anybody, just in case someone thinks I'm... I know you're old, but I'm going to use you. If you come out and follow me, I'm going to use you, and I'm going to make you a father. I'm going to do through you and for you what you could not do. I've given you a natural lifetime to prove it, not to the world, but to yourself, that what I'm about to do is all me. The Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the glory, that the credit, that the glory be all of God and not man. He said, Abram, you're old, and Sarah, she's old too, but we won't talk because she'll get mad about that one. But I'm going to use you two to start a nation. That's impossible. What impossible promises has God given you? And I'm telling you, when you begin to receive what God has for you, there is things in the world that will not celebrate what God is bringing on the inside of you. If you have your Bibles, let me give you the second verse for today. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, we're going to read it out of the God's Word translation. It says, guard your heart. Say guard. King James says to keep. I like the word guard. See, if you keep something, that means you're just hanging on to it. But when you guard it, you realize that there's somebody trying to take it from you. Did you hear me? John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he would like nothing more than to steal your dreams, your gifting, your calling, your abilities, your anointing, the promises of God that belong to you. Guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of life, King James says, the issues of life flow from this. Guard what? Guard what? Guard your heart. Romans 10:10, again, the heart, that's the place where you believe. Matthew 13, that's the heart. That's the place where the seed of God's word is planted so that you can believe. The heart, that's your spiritual womb so that you can receive the word and the truth of God and begin to have life as that rhema, the word becomes alive in you. And you look in the absolute obscurity and darkness of a moment and see impossibility, but something on the inside of you says, no, no, I see possibility. I don't see it with my natural eyes, but I see it with my spiritual eyes. I see something greater than what I see is probable. I see the possibility of God. And Abram, Romans 4, was fully persuaded, not considering his own body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise, he saw something that nobody else in his family could see. He saw something that nobody else in his staff could see. He saw something that nobody in his community could see. He saw himself being a father, not of one, that's a miracle of enough, but of a multitude. Father of a multitude. The enemy will try to steal that promise. I'm speaking to the choir because I'm telling you, when you talk to moms, moms are naturally gifted at this. I've seen moms who ignore the obvious to believe the truth in their heart. I mean, they'll be on TV. They'll catch one of their kids. He done robbed a bank, beat up five people, got the money in his arm. And they say, that's not my son. He didn't do it. Right? I mean, all evidence is against him, but not that much. Nope, nope, not that. Not. Right? Something about a heart of a mom who will believe the best. I remember when I was about 8, 9 years old, 10, that range. I used to be very, very ornery. I used to get in trouble a lot. Not me. I know it's hard to believe. But it was because some of the friends that I had, you know what I mean, they would. Some of those friends are still here today, so I mean. And I remember my mom and dad were pastors. They pastored for 40 years, and 38 years here at Hope. So I grew up at Hope Church. And I had this thing that I knew my dad was the pastor, and I would try to throw my weight around at 10 years old. And so one day, I guess I went too far in children's church, and they decided to kick me out of children's church. The pastor's son, on Sunday, walked me out of children's church into a room, got my mom out of church. You know, when they get your moms. See, this is back in the day. But it was not as back in the day as some of you remember where anybody could spank the kid in church. Remember those days? You didn't even have to know the kid. They're messing around, talking. You just start whipping them right there in church. Everybody's like, get them. Get one for it. Sure. But it was still back in the day where you got a whooping. So you knew. I got another story for you before we finish my story. I remember years ago, we have a guy in the church, good guy, when he was, and his parents were associate pastors of my parents, and this guy, he was just always big, tall. At 12 years old, he was 6 foot tall, 250 pounds. And one day, when he was 12, he was in trouble for doing something. I don't know what it was. I didn't want to ask what it was. I was a teenager. But his mama decided she was taking him out. And 6 foot, 250, get that visual. And she grabbed him by his ear. She's dragging him out of the church by his ear. He's going, no, mama, please, no, mama. You got to love moms, don't matter how big you think you are. Grab that ear. Come on. So anyway, back to my story of me getting kicked out of children's church at the age of 10. See what God can do? It's just amazing. And so 10 years old, pulled out, took in the back room, called my mom. And this, one of the children's pastors, social pastor, he was just telling her, your son is a troublemaker. He is rebelled. I mean, just going through this. And I'm sitting there. I know you've never had this happen. And they're talking as a kid. And I'm just looking down thinking, I'm dead. I'm looking down. And I heard my mom say, You stop it. And she said, you don't understand. That's not true. My son has a call of God on his life. God's anointed him to do ministry. And she began to say what God said instead of what the problem. I'm not saying that I got away with stuff. No, I still got my share of whippings. But to this day, I remember so clearly that moment. And my head popped up as I began to hear her say something positive about me and with the word of God. And that made a difference in my life. Isaiah 55:11, we talk about the word of God going forth. Isaiah 55:10 says, as the rain and snow comes from heaven and waters the earth. That word water means saturates the earth and makes it produce. I want to encourage you to speak the positive word of God into the life of your children. Don't run them down. If they're not doing well, I'm not saying you deny it. If they come home with an F, I'm not saying you say, I don't see an F. You start telling them what the word of God. That's okay. We're going to do better because you have great grades on the inside of you. You have the mind of God, mind of Christ. You have the wisdom of God. You're gonna succeed. You're going to do well. I mean, this is so important, and we don't always realize that literally a verse that most people know, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Have you ever heard that? You keep reading that verse. Challenge it. Look it up. And it says after that, and every word that is spoken against you in judgment. I'm telling you, words are so important that God said, even when people are speaking words of judgment against you, you shall condemn it.
Amen.
For this is your right, your heritage, your righteousness is of him. And I want to challenge you, guard, just like you would guard your children, guard your promises. Speak the word of God over them. Speak the word of God into them. Begin to say to your body, I know I'm feeling pain, but the word of God says, by his stripes I'm healed. And I got the word of promise of healing. And I thank you, Father, and celebrate what God's doing. Because the enemy wants to steal the seed out of your life. Matthew 13, he'll try to uproot you or redirect you, but he doesn't want that seed to produce a fruit, because when the fruit has come to fruition, all of a sudden, even sinners can see the result of God in your life.
Yeah.
Speak into their life.
Yeah.
Speak into your kid's life.
Yeah.
Speak. Don't compare them. Don't ever say, why aren't you like your older brother? Don't get them competing against each other. No wonder people get in the world and they're insecure and nervous and trying to compete with everybody. If we grow up in an environment where we have to match up, they might not match up to the other siblings or brothers or sisters, but they can be uniquely gifted differently than the other ones. The Bible says for us to train up a child, which means let them learn what their destiny is. And as they get old, mature, they will fulfill that destiny.
Amen.
Speak God's word. Because once you start believing, that's just the beginning.
Right.
You got to keep watching. It's like planting a seed. You just don't plant the seed, put some dirt on it, throw some water on it, and say, I'll be back in about a month to see what I can eat. No, you got to keep coming back and keep putting that water on and keep protecting it and keep guarding it and keep watering it. You keep speaking the word. You keep confessing that promise. You keep memorizing those verses. You keep doing it. You keep doing it. And as you're watering the word, again, Isaiah 55:10, as you water the word that's watering the ground, it will make it produce.
Amen.
It might not be overnight, but it will be over time.
Amen.
Amen. For with God, all things are possible. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.